Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Adam Russell.
Hey, everybody. This is Nick, the other host. Hey, Ryan. Where are you?
Psych.
Oh, damn.
Not a single Ryan in sight. Nerd alert.
Not one.
hey, there's someone else here.
Oh, hey.
Guest co-host returning, friend of the pod, Heather Antos. Hi.
What up, guys? How are ya?
Great. You must be the actual, not counting Mike, you must be the most frequented guest that we have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this is, what, like my fourth or fifth time on? Something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Number one.
Woo!
Number one guest host.
Good thing I like Star Wars.
You do like the Star War. For anyone who is listening maybe for the first time, or if you haven't heard Heather on the podcast before, Heather was at one time an editor at Marvel Comics working on Star Wars. Were you a senior editor at that point as well?
No, I was just a normal, boring editor.
Just run-of-the-mill editor.
Yep.
And worked on some great comics, which we're going to talk about today, and left Marvel and did some other things, and now you're back working with Star Wars, and it's been well over a year by this point, right, for IDW Publishing? Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can't stay away from the galaxy far, far away. So no, I'm back in Star Wars and it's great. Dealing with the High Republic and I get to touch on all the eras. So it's great. Yeah.
Awesome.
It has pulled you back in. Star Wars has called you. We need you, Heather.
I followed the way of the Force.
All is as the Force wills it, I like to say. So like I said, we're going to talk about some comics today and that's why we have Heather. And this is all in preparation for the Kenobi series dropping on May 27th. We've been doing Rebels, which is a good enough excuse. You know, Kenobi's a good enough excuse to cover Rebels. That was long overdue. But now, this is truly very, very relevant. This being a series that heavily focuses on Darth Vader as well as Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And Heather happened to be the lead editor, right, on the series that we're talking about today. Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. It's a 25-issue run, four books, I guess, or what's the...
Trades?
Trades.
I don't know comic speak so much.
Books works.
Yeah, they're books. They have pages and stuff.
Yeah.
Words. It's words on the pages.
Words.
Not all the pages.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're so much easier to read than real books. They're great for people with ADHD. I feel like so accomplished when I finish a comic. Like, dude, I read through that whole thing in like no time. Look how smart I am. Way better with pictures.
I have a random question. Is there a normal amount of words per comic?
I don't know about per comic, but there's like general rules of thumb about who's to say, like if people actually follow it. But in general, they say no more than 25 words per balloon, no more than 100 words per page. Obviously,
gotcha.
There are people who break this rule, but it's more of a guideline than anything.
Gotcha.
We want to make this one pretty straightforward, so we're going to get right into Stolen Plans.
What have you done with those plans?
Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. Published June 7th, 2017. The Chosen One, Part One, was the debut issue or the premiere issue. What term do you use in comics?
The first issue.
First? Okay.
Yeah, number one.
Just keep it simple.
We had a whole meeting about it, and we think we should call it number one.
Cool. That's totally cool. And it wrapped up December 19th, 2018, with Fortress Vader 7, Part 7. 25-issue run. This spans in the canon timeline from 19 BBY right at the moment where Anakin becomes, is transformed into the Vader that we know in the suit, where Revenge of the Sith ends with the infamous no and goes up to about 12 BBY when he actually, he gets Fortress Vader. He moves in. He's got the new crib. And a lot goes down during that time.
Yeah, I had to move here for work.
I want that MTV Cribs episode.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if, like, Fortress Vader was in one of the movies and then they did an SNL skit, MTV Cribs?
Yes.
That's what I want.
Well, the only... It was in Rogue One for a sec, right? But that's about
it. Hot. Like, you saw, like, an aerial top down. Yeah, that's it.
That's all about to change, though. We're about to get the Cribs episode.
Oh, I sure hope
so. Some version of it. So, a lot goes down in these 25 issues. There's lots of Inquisitors. There's lots of Jedi hunting by the Inquisitors, by Vader. There's lots of tension between Vader and the Imperials, including Tarkin, Director Krennic. Lots of drama. There's lots of little bits from, you know, that we see in movies popping up. It kind of ties in a lot of things, including a bunch of Rogue One stuff, Galen Erso. There's a bunch of sort of internal dialogue with Vader, and there's this amazing image that keeps popping up when he's in his tanker, in his meditation chamber. He's floating in sort of the legs crossed position, and it's kind of a, how would you describe it, Heather? Like a dark side spirit representation of him, and his legs are missing in it.
Yeah, you get this this meditative state of him where oh God, I remember the cover too. I think it's like issue 4 or 5, where you just see this real close-up broken of the mask and you see Anakin's eye. It's one of my favorite covers. Just came up in my Facebook memories recently, actually. But yeah, it's his Sith meditation. I don't know what you would call that. But like how in Mando, you know how like Mando's in his, or Boba Fett, right? Boba Fett's having his flashback memory sequence all the time.
Yeah.
Darth Vader's having his, and his, I would say, are equally unpleasant.
Yeah. There's some twisted, dark shit in it. Like the last thing that I saw that really caught my attention was in volume 4. I forgot what issue, but he sees sort of himself as... episode 1, aged, 10-ish, right? But his face is the Vader mask, but it's, you know, it's skin colored, but it's the mask, and it's really, it's just one page and there's not much with it, but it's disturbing and awesome, of course.
Yeah.
The big sort of essential story beats is kind of what we want to talk about, and we'll get into discussion about different things and themes, but we want to give you sort of a, if you don't have time to read it, or I mean, you do. It's quick. They're comics. Come on, guys. I read the things. But if you don't want to read it, we're going to kind of give you the essentials. So going into Kenobi, into the Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series, you have a little more context. And then after watching that, you may be compelled to go back and actually read the comics. That's the hope. Support comics and stuff and books and things. So, Heather, do you want to give us sort of...
a bullet point?
Yeah. 3, 5, whatever you think of kind of like the main... maybe each of the 4 volumes, a big standout moment, something that's essential to know, and then we can kind of discuss from there.
Yeah, I would say some of the big key things that we see, some big firsts for Vader, some big firsts for the Empire in this. The first volume definitely takes off with Vader has to get his lightsaber.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just like, there's not a Sith shop, right, where you can just pick up, here's your red crystal. You know, you have to kill a Jedi. You have to steal their crystal and make the crystal bleed. So that's literally task one assignment that Palpatine gives Vader in book one, and he goes from there. But the majority of the first 2 series, I would say, is not only getting his lightsaber, but also hunting the remnant Jedi, the Jedi who got away, the Padawans who got away. And so we see him go back to the Jedi Temple and the Jedi Archives on Coruscant, and not to give away any major spoilers, but we see an ultimate showdown with Jocasta Nu, famed Jedi librarian, which is sad and exciting. And then, you know, we also begin to see the beginnings, you know, of the Death Star. We get to see the tensions therein. But I think one of the main key important things for new readers to this era to really have in mind is Vader isn't Vader yet.
Yeah.
He's still Anakin, you know, like, yes, he has the scary mask and the black suit and he's very intimidating, but he's still I want to be with my wife, Anakin, the whole time. You know, he's still angry. He's still angsty. You know, he hasn't become as stoic and strategic yet. And we get to see that growth. And that's what makes this series, I think, so special, is we get to see him become Vader, and we get to see him really start to go against the Emperor and have his own machinations, where he ends up on Fortress Vader, right at the very end. And his whole purpose of that is he's been collecting artifacts, and really his goal at the end of the day, because he's just a teenage boy with a broken heart, he wants to bring his dead wife back. And the dark side of the Force is telling him, yo, you can bring your wife back. We can do immortality. This whole thread that he's had this whole time. And it doesn't work, but he's
false
still
advertising.
Very upset.
Turns out you can't do that.
So yeah, so that's kind of like the big gist of the series, is him learning what it means to be Darth Vader, and Emperor Palpatine constantly, you know, reminding him, well, I have these other inquisitors. I don't need you. You're not that special. You have to prove me wrong. Yeah, you're the chosen one, but like, whatever does that mean? You know? So
I feel like I'm not familiar with the entire run, but I mean, I think you do see how the Emperor really does like push his buttons and kind of turns him into the Vader that he's going to be, you know, or at least like pushes him into that direction and forces Vader to become Vader. You know, like, there's nothing specific I don't remember that like Palpatine really did where you just were like, oh, Vader's a jerk now. It's like, I feel like he's constantly prodding him and putting him in positions. And also, yes, like being like, we have inquisitors, like whatever, you know, like constantly just giving him weird motivations to like bottleneck him into a decision to become a bigger jerk. And
well, he's a puppet, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Really, at the end of the day, Anakin's just a toy for Palpatine. Mm-hmm. He's a bright, shiny toy because he happens to be super powerful, Force-sensitive craziness. But he's totally whipped under Palpatine.
Yeah.
And everything Palpatine does, the ways that he twists him and makes him more angry and more jealous and everything, it's things we know about the Sith, things that you can pick up from the movies, that it's the hate and the anger and the resentment and all the rage that gives them power, and that they use that. But in the comics, it's so much more explicit, and it's so much deeper and so much more constant. And it just had me, it's like tough to read if you're like, I'm a pretty liberal, like pacifist, like just everybody be cool kind of dude. And thinking about the concept of being pissed off or hating someone and accepting that and turning it in and trying to use it is like so gross to me.
Yeah.
And it's so constant in this. It's like rough to read. If you really get emotionally invested in it, you think about this, like you said, Anakin in this costume, not yet the Vader from the original trilogy. It's painful to read. And it's amazing, but it's hard to read.
It is. I mean, like, really, it's a story of a man who's grieving and just can't accept all the horrible things in his life, and how he like lashes and projects that out, and how he's enabled and encouraged into it. And that's something that, you know, Vader is this mysterious figure who speaks very little, you know, in the films that we get to see him. And so in this comic, like you said, there's a lot of narration. We're in his head. Like, we literally are in his head and can see how he feels, and we get to see the Force, how he sees it, and experience those nightmares that are haunting him. And that's one of the things why I love comics in particular, is like, every single shot, every single panel, like, is an image that you can just look at and hold and stay with you. It's not like, oh, here's a frame that just jumps across, you know, the screen as an action scene happens. Like, it sits with you and it lives with you. And like you said, like, it gets into some tough, dark emotional places in this run. Poor guy.
Truly.
Poor guy. He just needs a hug.
Yeah. He needs a lot of hugs. It's so... Man, the stuff with Palpatine is constant, and it's not just yeah, use your anger, use your suffering. He just keeps piling it on, you know, the tests and that everything that he does to him, that for anyone else, any non-Sith would be a complete betrayal. I'm done with this person. I want to kill this person. I want them out of my life. But instead, it's like, that's how we do it here. Mm-hmm. That's how things roll around here. Like, he sent so-and-so to kill me, or he sent me into this, on the suicide mission, or he did this or that. And it's all part of being a Sith.
With the carrot of Padme coming back, just dangling.
Well, and that's what it is. It's like, I don't think really Vader has like the same affinity for Palpatine as he did Obi-Wan, right? Like, I don't think it's
right.
Like, I think it's a burden and an obligation rather than love. And you're absolutely right that it's the carrot. Like, it is the carrot and it is the anger. And I keep thinking what I want to see, and I want to know what would happen. I want to have like Darth Vader, but Goodwill Hunting. Like, what if he had Robin Williams as his therapist? Like, what would that turn into? Is that right? I want that scene with Vader. I want that scene with Anakin so bad. And in my head, I'm like, oh man, do we get that in Kenobi? Do we get like a, it's not your fault, Anakin.
Oh,
it's
God.
Not your fault. Like, oh, I want man. That so bad in any capacity.
Yes. Oh. Well, let's quickly kind of, for each volume, I know you don't want to do spoiler, you don't want to get into spoilers too heavy, but kind of say what the main sort of mission or the giant takeaway is from each one. You mentioned getting his lightsaber, getting the Kyber crystal.
Yeah, so getting the Kyber crystal.
That's volume one, and he finds a Jedi. Should we say the name? Should we go that far?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Kerrick and Phila. Is that pronunciation decent?
Yep.
He's been on like a sabbatical sort of from the Jedi since long before everything kind of fell apart, before Order 66. And he only vaguely knows of it from feeling the disturbance, I guess, in the Force. And Vader faces off with him, and it's a gnarly battle. Vader is wrecked. I mean, he's like,
he almost does not make it out,
but ultimately does get the crystal and takes the saber. And it's really cool to see him with a red saber. That's not the classic one that we know from 1977 before he then tears it apart, takes out the crystal and makes it his own. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on, but that's kind of the big kind of culminating moment. That's what defines that volume, I would say, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then volume two, the big defining moment is definitely him going after Jocasta Nu in the Jedi archives and seeing the list of Padawans or the list of Force sensitive children scattered across the galaxy.
Brutal.
And as Yoda says, there is another. Well, there are many other. And Vader doesn't want competition.
There's also a lot of good stuff in, I want to say it's in volume two, where the stormtroopers and the remaining clone troopers, or whatever stage they're at that point, they don't know who he is or what he is. He kills a bunch of them. There's all this turmoil and shit going on because, you know, he was assigned this position, this like invented role under Palpatine. And it's not like everybody got a memo, you know, he's just this presence.
Well, when
presence
he first sees
now.
The Inquisitors, they're like, who is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's going on? I mean, I think that's pretty cool, too. That's a good point of information, is that Palpatine is the one who kind of put the Inquisitors together and then appointed Vader to be in charge. So that's kind of I don't know if that'll come into play in the Kenobi series, but that's, I guess, a good little piece of info.
And that all starts in volume three, right?
A little bit, yeah. The big stuff with the Inquisitors is Volume 3. They have their targets that they're going after because they're trying to... Mon Cala is basically the opposing force out there, and Palpatine cannot let that stand. And then also in Volume 3 is when Vader learns about the beginnings of the Death Star. And he doesn't like that Palpatine's lying to him about it. He doesn't like that they're trying to hide some shit from him. And he gets a little testy.
Is that, I could vaguely remember the end of Revenge of the Sith, Vader looking out at the like structure of the Death Star. Mm-hmm.
The Geonosians have like a hollow of it. Like, we can't, they take that away. And then it's in Rogue, at the end of Rogue One, he stands there with Tarkin, with the actor with the prosthetic, and they see it off in the distance, right?
Is that Revenge of the Sith?
No, it is Revenge of the Sith, because the prosthetic is, you're right.
Yeah.
Before, or that's how his story ends, before we finish with the binary sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are correct.
And then 4 is Vader hunting down these artifacts. And that's where he finds the mask of Lord Momen, which if you're a fan of the Star Wars comics, this isn't the first time Lord Momen has appeared. He also, or the mask of Lord Momen played a big deal in the 2015 Lando miniseries, also written by Charles Soule. Highly check it out. It's very good. But this is when he's, you know, getting swayed by the dark side and the spirit of Lord Momen in order to bring back Padme. And it doesn't work, but he gets a pretty cool castle. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Lost your girlfriend, got a new house, you know.
Yeah.
The tension with the Inquisitors really comes to a head in volume 4, and he kills a couple of them, right? It's just 2?
Yeah.
I don't remember which one specifically, but on Coruscant, he walks in on them talking shit on him, basically, and shit unfolds. And there's some really great images. There's one of him standing on a speeder going through Coruscant with 2 clones in the seats, and he's just cruising with the cape flapping, you know? And he jumps off the thing. It gets blown up. It's just all this really awesome action that is, you know, it's the Vader at his in his prime that we want. And this is just one of many examples of that stuff. Where like there's also some like just brutal descriptions of what he does, because in volume 3 there's a thing where that catches you really off guard when it starts. He apparently has asked Tarkin to hunt him and send all his worst people at him, because he's like, okay, give me a worthy opponent. I want to see
what you got.
Who I can't. Yeah, I want to see what the galaxy's got for me. It's all in Tarkin's head, right? It's sort of the voiceover.
Yeah.
Talking about how he's seen him rip people's eyes out with the Force and break their bones with the Force, with nothing but, you know, no hands, no lightsaber, just the Force. It's a bunch of like
hokey religion.
Yeah. It's a bunch of gnarly stuff. But it's, again, the version of Vader that we all want to see, like the sadistic part of our fandom brain wants to see.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm flipping through. Sorry, podcast people, but like the spread of, it's just like, yeah, so gnarly. Beautiful. So gnarly.
The fire, the silhouettes, the fear, the anger, the hate, the suffering, and so on.
So forth and so on.
There are a lot of flashbacks in this, and one of the biggest ones is, forget which volume, but he flashes back to the moment on Mustafar, the high ground moment, but it's flipped, sort of.
I think it's volume 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see him, yeah, the other way around.
Yeah. You know, Obi-Wan says, don't try it. He tries it, but he wins in this case. And it's a goosebumps moment, because it's really well done in terms of like recreating the moment, but twisting it. Even though I'm not much of a comic reader, so the whole experience is kind of like I don't have a rhythm to reading comics. Sometimes I look at a page and I'm like, oh, where do I look first? Because it just all looks so sweet. But you see that and your eye goes immediately to that familiar frame and you don't expect to see what comes next. And the turn is like, dude, just go read it. It's great.
I hear they're making a show off of some of it. So yeah,
that's exciting. You
know, it's going to be on the television.
You should check that out. You should. And I think what's fun too, is if you played Fallen Order, right? If you played Fallen Order, great game. It happens in the same time period as these comics too. You see the Inquisitors in there. You get to see Vader being all Vader-y. It just has like a really cool energy of the upheaval of the Empire in that time when it's all fresh and scary and chaos, and you know, the Empire is about order, but they don't quite got it figured out yet.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's there's a really cool energy about it. And just sitting here thinking, like, one of the things I love is how like pissy Vader gets about like, you aren't telling me your plans and I want to know everything and how dare you lie to me. And he's off here doing all this shit all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he shows up on Scarif and goes to the Citadel Tower. He's there in the file vault, essentially just digging through stuff, trying to figure out what's up with the Stardust project. And I guess Tarkin shows up directly, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tarkin shows up there and he's like, what are you doing here, bro? And he's like, I want to know about this stuff, you know? And they're like, because like you said, he's doing whatever he wants, yet he's resentful of not being informed. And it's what you would expect of this kind of like dark power dynamic.
Yeah.
Secrets only the Sith knew.
Exactly. And then you see also the push and pull, which directly ties into Rebels as well, with Tarkin trying to kind of strategically know where to put the chips, so to speak. You've got the Death Star project. You've got in Rebels the TIE Defender project. And Tarkin versus Krennic is a big moment in Volume 3. They just hate each other. And they're, I guess, is it Vader and someone else talking about how the two of them, I forget what the conversation is, but point being, they've got their different agendas. And like you said, the Empire, the rules, all this stuff. But no, it's just chaos all the way to the top.
It's just a bunch of power-hungry people hungry for power. That's it. Yeah. That's all it is. It's again, not enough hugs. Not enough hugs.
Really smart psychopaths who haven't been hugged.
And hate sand.
It's rough and it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Did you see the anti-sand towel that they have for merch? Yes. For yeah.
Yes.
My goodness.
And there's a little, so like a little sort of like
Zen garden thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Whoever designed that deserves a raise.
They definitely leaned into memery for all of these because there's some shirts that are basically actually just memes.
Actual memes, yeah. Speaking of throwbacks, though, there's a moment where Vader repeats the line, "They were animals, so I slaughtered them like animals," about the Geonosians in this case, but straight up, exact same line. And there's, I want to get to kind of your favorites, but I know I keep kind of beating this to death, pardon the pun, but you really see Anakin just fall deeper and deeper. It's almost like watching an alcoholic just keep drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just they're just saying, "Fuck it. I'm already a mess. I'm already dependent on this. So I'm just going to drown it in more of it."
Yeah.
And that's him with murder and death and chaos and rage. And the number of people he kills in this, and they even talk about, like, the Inquisitors are like, "What's he going to do when we kill all the Jedi?" "Well, I guess he'll find someone else to kill." You know, it's really sad.
It is. It's really, again, I want my Robin Williams, Obi-Wan, "It's not your fault." Really catharsis. Just mainly to see Darth Vader cry, because I think that would be an interesting hunched over moment.
Somebody who's listening, please, if you've read this, go back and try to total up the body count, the Darth Vader body count.
They need to, like they did for like the Bible, right? Like someone actually went in the Bible and tallied up how many people got killed, how many people the devil killed. And let's figure out how many Darth Vader killed. Let's see.
It's
more than
bigger than a breadbasket. More than one. Yeah. All right. Let's kind of wrap it up. And Nick, you think you've read enough to have a favorite moment? Should we each do a favorite moment, or
I do yours? Yeah. I mean, from what I've read and seen, I think it was cool. It was my favorite depiction of watching like a kyber crystal be bled, because it was green. The saber he got was green, and there is a couple of frames of Vader with a green saber, which is very dope. And then he brings it back to Palpatine, and things happen, and Vader actually makes the kyber crystal bleed, and then we have his red saber. So from what I've seen, and unfortunately I haven't read it all, but that's my favorite from what I've seen.
Nice. I'll go, and then Heather, you go last.
Okay.
It's sort of a tie. I always do this. It's sort of a tie between that Mustafar flashback with the twist, the high ground thing. God, this is tough. I'm going to say it's kind of a tie between that and the thing, Heather, that you showed just now on camera from Volume 4. It's a silhouetted four-panel, like, you know, vertical, skinny four-panel thing of young Anakin, like, you know, 10-year-old Tatooine Anakin, and then with the Padawan braid, and then sort of Episode 2, Episode 3, and there are these four silhouettes, and in the flames in the background, there are little vignettes from each of those moments, you know, meeting Palpatine as a 10-year-old, Yoda and Obi-Wan when they come in with the younglings in Episode 2, and wonderful the mind of a child is, that moment, right? Mm-hmm. And then the kiss on Geonosis, and then the wedding. And then the next page, it's with Ahsoka, and then the battle with Ahsoka, and it's just like, I have goosebumps everywhere. The whole thing, it's like so brutally painful, and the next shot is approaching the temple with that like dark side kind of ghostly silhouette that we were talking about of him. It's that. It's insane. It's just so good. That there it is. That's the winner for me.
Well, that was going to be my pick. We call that the sequence where Anakin died and Vader was born. That's, you know, where he's shedding basically every good memory he ever had. But so since you picked that, I'll pick something that has nothing to do with Vader. And it's in Volume 2. And it's when he goes to visit Jocasta Nu. And Jocasta, you know, she's a feeble old lady. Is she going to fight with a lightsaber? No. She has this giant lightsaber powered like gun, essentially.
Yeah.
And it is the coolest thing ever. And her showdown with Vader is just one of my, like, it's heartbreaking, but it's a really cool, cool moment because you know it has to happen. He knows it has to happen. She knows it has to happen. And she knew him. She knew him as this child. And
she knows it's him in that moment.
And she knows it's him. Yeah, she can sense it. So
is there someone else as well that knows it's him that kind of puts the pieces together and says, like, this happened and this happened, and so it could only be Anakin
Tarkin,
Skywalker.
Tarkin puts it together. Tarkin knows.
Good stuff.
So it's good. It's a good read. I would know. I made it. So
well done.
Thank you.
And shout out to the writers and the illustrators and all of the titles of people who worked on this series.
Shout out to, just to list them all, Charles Soule, who wrote it, Giuseppe Camicoli, who drew it, Danielle Orlandini, who inked it, David Curiel, who did the colors, Jordan White, who also worked on it, and of course, all the people at Lucasfilm. Great, great, great team across the board. And very rare that you get the same art team across 25 issues these days, and they did it.
I would definitely encourage anyone to, even if you know, you just want to check out the digital version, it's very easy to acquire. I use an app called Hoopla. It's an app that works with libraries. So I, with my library card number, log in essentially, St. Louis County Library in my case, and you have access to all of this for sure. And pretty new stuff too. So I read all my comics on this. It's amazing. And you could honestly get through all 25 issues if you sit down and just dig in a day for sure. Depending on, you know, how much you want to sit and stare at each panel, you could power through it if you really wanted to get ready for the premiere of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah.
Which is, when this comes out, a mere, 12 hours away, kind of?
Yeah.
Wild times.
Yeah. So in theory, you could do it if you get this this episode in the morning.
You could do it. And you should do it.
It's a can and a should. All right. Let's wrap this up. Heather, do you have anything that you want to shout out right now? Anything you got going on you want people to check out?
Comic conventions are back. So I am back traveling the country doing a bunch of shows. My next one after this comes out will be Denver Comic Con the first weekend of July, July 1st through 3rd. So definitely come say hi if you're out there. I'll also be at San Diego Comic Con, Boston, and New York. So come say hello.
Hey, are you going to be just kind of out and around, or do you have a booth? Are you doing a signing?
I have a table. I'll be doing signings. I'll be doing commissions, sketching. So yeah, I'll have a bunch of merch. Definitely check it out. Some Star Wars stuff, though that tends to go pretty quick, but definitely check it out. Come say hi, get a doodle, talk comics.
Awesome. Where can people follow you on social media?
Just my name. The easiest way to follow me is on Twitter at Heather Antos, H-E-A-T-H-E-R-A-N-T-O-S, and also on all the other things, but Twitter is by far the most interesting.
It is definitely interesting on Twitter.
That is one word to describe it.
You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Thank the Maker, on Instagram and TikTok at Thank the Maker Pod. All of my personal stuff is at Adam the Skull.
All my social media is at Nick Bayside. Episode 47 of the Radio Show is out now. Please give that a listen. And if you have not pre-ordered my children's book called That's Okay, please do that. You could pre-order it at hecreative.com right now. And if you do pre-order it, I'll send you a video of me reading the book so I could scare your kids.
Cute as hell. There's probably no digital version of that coming, right?
No.
Give the kids the paper.
Never say never. I feel like we need to make this book a massive hit, and then Nickelodeon buys the rights to it. I have all you do voices for the show. We all become millionaires. We get a boat. We live on the boat.
I like that.
Travel the world.
I'm on a boat. Motherfucker, take a look at me. Yeah. Never stop, never stopping. All right. Lastly, if you want to support this podcast and help us keep the lightsabers on, Patreon.com/thankthemakerpod is where you can go to do that. Discord access, exclusive content, exclusive merch. It's good stuff. help us out. It really, really, really does actually help. And hopefully the next episode will include Ryan Key. He is in fact alive. He'll be back. We'll be covering Kenobi. There's probably going to be a bonus episode, honestly, like off the normal schedule, because between that and Celebration and the changing of the release schedule, we're going to have three episodes to cover. So
yeah,
look for some bonus stuff.
Maybe we should ask the Discord or Patreon or whatever, like what they would prefer, how they would prefer us to do it. Like give them some options.
Yeah.
What do the listeners want?
It's a good time to be a Star Wars fan, though. A lot is good. Well, Heather, thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks for having me, guys. Tell Ryan he is free to not show up anytime.
Will do. And everyone, thanks for listening. Until next week, may the Force be with you.